To live in springtime from Amazing Love Assembly Enugu with Bishop Amechi Nwachukwu ministering.
Paul is now going to give us another shining example, and that is where we got the topic of our message this morning, where we are asking the question. If you look at the bulletin, Epaphroditus, the brother, what kind of testimony do you have? Paul is going to speak to us about this man, Epaphroditus, and we are going to be asking the question, what kind of testimony do you have? Let us read our text, Philippians chapter 2, from verse 24. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 24 to verse 30. And I read, "But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." Verse 25. "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother Epaphroditus." Epaphroditus is a combination of two compound words, whether you look at it in Greek or you look at it in the Latin. It's a name, it's lovely, it means good luck. It's used of Aphroditus in the mythological language of love, referring to Venus and other things. Epaphroditus, who is lovely, name means good luck. And then it continues, "My brother." The word he used for mine, and even though we are reading, it's important that we read it in the context. He uses the Greek word in the genitive sense, which talks of possession. He is my brother. And the way he used it in the copulative language, you can transfer the same mind to all the other things we are going to read. And that's why I call your attention to that as we read. I find it necessary, who is my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier, but your messenger, the one who has ministered to my need. Verse 26. "Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Verse 28. "Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful." Verse 29. "Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem." Why? Verse 30. "Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. You may be seated, brethren. You know, Paul was a great man in every sense of it. The book of Proverbs said that he who must have friends must show himself friendly. It is said that if you must be loved deeply, you must love others deeply. And no man can command a depth of love without inversely commanding a debt of hatred. There can be no true man in history and in the world. If you must love, be loved deeply, you must love deeply. And no man can command a depth of love. People love him so deeply. And conversely, you are not having people who hate him so deeply. Then something must be wrong somewhere. For as you have those who love you so deeply, ready to lay down their lives, are those who are ready to kill you to take their own lives. As Paul loved the Lord so deeply, because the Lord loved him so deeply, and the Lord who loved the people so deeply, that are those who hated him so deeply, they are willing to nail him to the cross, even one of his apostles to betray him. And there are those who have bounded themselves together with Saul and others, and they say they will never eat or drink until they see Saul die. In the same way, Saul will bind himself and say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is a gain. You cannot command a depth of love, and you are not ready to command a depth of hatred. You are on the wrong track. Move to somewhere else. For those two things are opposites that necessarily operate to maintain balance. And Paul was such a great man of God, so powerful in all his spheres. And when you see the way he commends those he walked with, you can sense the greatness in his power, in his voice. Some of us think that if you give people compliment for what they did, it means you are small. And that's why people can quote books without giving credence and reference to those who wrote the books they are quoting. That's why projects are written. People go and take somebody's project from certain schools in some part of the countries in West Africa. I don't believe such things happen here. They pull people's project out, remove the name of the person who wrote it, remove the university where they wrote it, remove the name of those dedicated to, yank their own inside, rebind it, submit the project again, and it is accepted. Because you believe if you give credence to somebody, that you are quoting somebody, it means that you are less. But you see, when you get to realize, you see, beyond laziness, beyond mental laziness, is the fact that the evidence that you are learned, as we were taught in school, is the references you can make on a particular subject. Let me see your bibliography. Let me see those authorities you have quoted, you have read. Let me see citations you are making to support your point. And we believe that as you look at the life of Paul, just like in the life of Jesus, in the life of the others, you see how he commends people. It is through Paul we know that there are so many more apostles. Left to some of us, it will just be Matthew, James, Peter, and John, and the rest of them. And as far as we are concerned, the rest of them may not even, wouldn't be calling them apostles. Turn with me briefly to the book of Romans, chapter 16. And see the commendation he makes before we come to what he said about this Epaphroditus, a brother. And we are asking, what kind of testimony do you have? Chapter 16 of Romans. Just see, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church of Synchrea. Phoebe. She's a deaconess. She's ministering. She's in this church. You know, and the Apostle Paul, a whole chapter, and the Holy Ghost saw to you that it was inspired, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow worker in Christ, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. I mean, you can pursue that. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruit of the Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Can you imagine that? Greet these people. They came to know the Lord before I did. They were there before me. greet them. I am the apostle. The Lord has called me. But Paul was saying, extend greeting to these people. It is in that vein that we enter into as he introduces Epaphroditus to us. And what he says about this man is what every saint will want said about him. But there's a price. If you are willing to pay the price, it will be saved. But it is not something you get by wishful thinking. Let's look at where we just read briefly. Philippians chapter 2. And we are looking at that text again in verse 25. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. I considered it necessary to send him, my fellow worker. And the words he used both in verse 30, because for the works of Christ, this man, if you care to look with me in the same Philippians chapter 4 verse 18, you will notice how this man came to be where he was. Verse 16. Philippians 4 verse 16. Yes.
For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God.
Praise the Lord. You see, this guy got to be where he was because the church in Philippi, the Philippians said that he had been in prison, was waiting his execution of martyrdom, and they were wondering who will travel the land with all the risk to go and take supplies to this Paul. Paul was not a worker. He had no farms. He had no businesses. He had no industries. He has no motors flying his way. He had no sheep. Nothing. He depended purely on charity to sustain himself and all that concerned him. And this church had sent help in Thessalonica and other places. And now he's far away in Rome. They were asking, who will travel from this place to Rome, part of Europe, to get him something, supply his need, give him some money, buy some clothing for him, ask about him? The journey was hazardous in many ways. Not only that we are going to meet somebody that was a state criminal by designation. We are calling him an apostle. As far as they were concerned, this was a state criminal. The record on him was, he was a criminal, preaching and stirring up strife wherever he went. And so this man, in the midst of these places, where he was also a bishop in Philippi, was also an apostle, among others, ministering in this place, he said, I will go. And that was what Paul was referring. He risked coming to meet to Paul to say to him, all the members would have been here, but we can't all leave our things. So I have elected to come on behalf of everybody. And if you needed to wash your clothes out there, you wanted to send some parchment somewhere, I will do it. You wanted to buy food, I will get it for you. If you are not feeling well, I'll check out something for you. Here he was. And Epaphroditus came on, and let's read it again. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. But I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and I'll come to that, verse 26. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Now, when Epaphroditus came to this place, he took ill, serving Paul, journeying, trekking, coming to the place, stressing himself to make sure there was nothing Paul could do with himself and for himself. Not only was he in chain, he was limited. It was this person who came in and said, I'll take the burden off you. A minister, an apostle, he called him. The Greek word here you use for minister, your own minister, is the same word for apostolos. It's the same Greek word you have as a minister. And he called him your apostle, your bishop, your minister. He was here to serve me, to minister to me. And he was sick. The burden was so much that the load of work was wearing him down. Since he was longing for you all, and the people have heard that he was so sick, and they were worried. Hey, it is us who sent this man to go to Paul, and now he's sick. What if he dies there? Oh God. The people were so worried that Epaphroditus himself became so worried and wanted to go and show them that he was all right. Verse 27. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'd like us to note something here. Here was a man staying with the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul that can heal the sick. Apostle Paul that can lay hands on those who are almost dead and they'll get up. Here was this man staying with this great apostle, and there was nothing Paul could do. Brethren, the Lord can heal and does heal. But you know, there is a prerogative of God to heal. And what we are noticing here is that he called upon God and said, God, it's not like the power is in me. I can't say get up, and he got up. I said it, nothing happened. I am asking you to have mercy. If this man who came to minister to me should die here, they'll say, he has taken his blood. He has killed him. Look at this man who knows he's already in jail and in prison, he's going to die. Oh, well, balamata kere malo, lacha. Paul said that God saved him to save him sorrow upon sorrow. Because what people would have said would have been such a terrible thing. Indeed, the word he said that he was so close to death, he said that death was his neighbor. Epaphroditus was just by next door, and his neighbor was dead, and but for the grace of God, that man had already crossed over. Therefore, I send him the more eagerly that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Because receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. This guy came to the point of death, not because of anything, but as Paul was needing him, he was given there. You know, so many of us believe that you just have to serve Christ out of convenience. I'm afraid that's why your life is the way it is. You are not called to serve God when you are well. In fact, there's no greater vow than the vow of being a Christian. And God is calling you to serve him in sickness and in health. Indeed, when you proclaim that you are a child of God, you become what the Bible calls you, a soldier of the cross. Whether you are well or you are not well, it's not an excuse. Like, I like the way the Anglican hymnal puts it. Where duty or danger calls, I don't want to be lacking there. I'm just paraphrasing it. Be not wanting there. Where there is duty or danger, let them not look for you. And as we go into what Paul called this man, how he served, and he said that he ministered to him. The word he used there was the same Levitical priesthood word they used. Epaphroditus realized that as he was ministering to Paul, he was ministering to the Lord. Some of us do not realize that when you minister to saints, men of God, that service is like you are ministering to the Lord himself. And that was why Jesus said, when you give a cup of cold water to somebody in my name, you will not miss your reward. If he's a prophet, you will get a prophet's reward. And this man, like Timothy, understood that I have no greater service that I can say I want to do when I'm already serving a servant of God. This service, God recognized it, and that's the way he read it here. Maybe if you read it in the Amplified, you'll be able to get what I'm saying. And that's this service I'm rendering to this servant of God, is the greatest service you can ever have to the Almighty God. And he was saying, he was serving God as he was serving me. He was seeing God, and God was seeing his service to me as service to the Almighty God. I wonder how many of us, what kind of testimonies you have, with all our self-seeking and all our self-interest. When will you stop to even notice that serving a brother or a sister in need is equal to serving Christ? Or that serving a servant of the Almighty God, that on the last day, your own measurement of God's service may not be what you think. God may say, I was sick. You never visited. You say, when did we see you sick? I was hungry. You never did. You say, when did we see you hungry? And he said, inasmuch as you did it to one of these ones that believe in me, you have also done it unto me. It is important to open up ourselves and ask, what kind of testimony do I have? And when you, let me emphasize it, even though it may look self-serving, but I have made a commitment to speak the truth of God. It is important for you to ask yourself, when you serve the servant of God and you see your service, do you look at it as unto God? You may find somebody and say, I want you to just stay here. You say, Bible study time. Hey, Bible study. It's time for Bible study. Do you realize that you may never have a greater service than waiting on the mountain for Moses? And that was all that Joshua did. For 40 days, Moses was up, and Joshua was just by the mountain. Did he go into the mountain with Moses? Did he go up to meet God with Moses? No. All the service he ever rendered that God acknowledged for him, he was waiting for his servant by the down place. I'd like you to reevaluate your commitment. Wherever you're coming from, what is your relationship to the servant of God there? If you don't have a viable relationship, that may be responsible for no viable blessing in your life. It is a secret of God that you may need to pick up and say, am I washing the apostles' feet? Where is my commitment? Or is it only me and my family? The servants of God I know are there for trouble. Excuse me, man of God, I have a problem. My tire went flat on the main road. Excuse me, man of God, I am sick. Excuse me, man of God, I don't have this. Excuse me, man of God. Yeah, man of God, wherever you are coming from, do it for them. God will make sure you never lose your reward. But I'm telling you that it's calling the man of God that you are failing in your responsibility. And you are diminishing the graces that could have been yours. And you are failing in opening up the largeness of the kingdom that God would have given to you. Let's go back to our text again in that Philippians chapter 2 and pick up some of the things he said about this man and ask, what is your testimony? What kind of testimony do you have? What kind of testimony do you have? You do the minimal thing and you expect the greatest applause. You come in and make sure that everybody sees you splash out. Whom are you committed to? When you are sick, you want everybody to visit you. When you are not well, you want everybody to be there. You want all the doctors to rush to you. Which person have you ever spent your money to take transport out of your way to visit? Where? You don't have. You are condemning yourself to never having. Why not make a commitment today and say, God, I want my testimony to change in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus.
The word means lovely, or if you like, a fortune. That's okay, yes?
My brother.
I like to stress that word he used there. He called him my brother. We share the same communion. He was saying that we are one family. We are twins. We have the same artery. Our blood flows from one source. That's the word he used. My brother. Obviously, the way his name was, he was a Gentile. And Paul had no business calling him a brother. Paul was a Jew. But no, he was saying he was a Christian. And because he was a Christian, he was my brother. Not every Christian is your brother. We are going to see the quality that made this one a brother. That's why in our this thing we said, Epaphroditus, the brother, what kind of testimony do you have?
He was called a brother, because he had the qualities of a brother.
Not every male is a brother. Not every sister, every female is a sister. Oh no. Even if they carry the biggest Bible and speak in tongues and prophesy, and even if they do anything, that doesn't prove anything. You need to look at the qualities of Christ in them to know whether they are filially, spiritually connected to you to be called brothers. Paul looked at him and said, he was my brother. Look at another name he called him. Yes?
My fellow worker.
I like that. My fellow worker. He said, we put our neck together when it came to walking. When you read Nehemiah, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 21 to verse 23. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 21 to verse 23. He was my fellow worker. Our yoke were together. We were putting our heads. It was William Paine who said centuries ago, as he described the characteristic of a true friend, William Paine, he said, a true friend unbosoms freely, advises justly, assists readily, risks boldly, takes all patiently, defends courageously, and continues a friend unchanging. Epaphroditus was somebody that Paul could look upon. William Paine, one of the English writers. And we get back to him again, and he was saying he's a fellow worker, somebody that his neck was together with me, whatever the work was. There are people that you ask to do something, and as they finish it, the way you will know they have finished is that they have gone. There are others you ask to do something, and after they finish, they will ask you, I've finished. Do you have any more thing for me to do, or can I go? Which one do you prefer? The second one. Of course, we all do that. We all wish to be the second person. I have finished. There are those you say, please wash this, close here. When you do, lock it up. It's all right. As soon as you can hurry up that, make sure that you don't see him so that you don't give him extra work, he's gone. In your office, in your home, in your business, in wherever you are, in the church, there are people that want to do the minimal thing for the maximum benefit. This life is not like that. What you sow is what you reap. And what happens is that this brother is a fellow worker. He will bear the burden. He will go the extra mile. He will give that which nobody else is asking about. Yes, please.
Nehemiah chapter 4.
Yes.
Verse 21. So we labored in the work. And half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared.
Are you there? Let me say this. We have a commitment. If there's anybody staying around you and closing their eyes, slap them. And I mean it. If you don't slap them, I'll come down from the pulpit and slap them. If anybody's staying around you and sleeping, just slap them, because we will not accept that you will come to church here to attack us. If you are sent as a demon, we'll send you out in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we want you to be very aware of it, that we have passed through the time. We'll be coming here, you distract ushers, you play around, you come here. If you are not going to deal with them, we'll come and deal with them in the name of Jesus Christ. Okakebial. Hallelujah. All right, let's take that verse again.
Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 21.
Yes.
So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared.
Right.
At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem.
That's right.
That they may be our guard by night and a walking party by day.
Did you hear that? Who was going to do the night guard? Is it the people that works in the day or another group of people?
The same people. Can you take it again, please?
At the same time,
yes.
I also said to the people,
yes.
Let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. that they may be our guard by night mm-hmm. and a walking party by day.
So stop at verse 23. Have you reached?
Verse 23 now.
Yes.
So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing.
Did you hear that? That was Nehemiah. What was Nehemiah before he went into this job? A cupbearer, a responsible officer to a king that their domain was the whole of the Middle East and plus. That was a man who was more in power and position, and he was there. And he didn't remove his clothes except to wash it. They will walk in the day, keep awake in the night, weapon of war on one side, weapon of work on the other side, keeping at the work. That's what Paul was describing this man. Let's get to that Philippian passage again and see how he described this man in verse 25. Yes?
My fellow worker.
My fellow worker. Somebody who bore the burden with me. Somebody I could trust. He was my fellow worker. Yes?
And my fellow soldier.
My fellow soldier. Doesn't mean that you are not a soldier because you have a uniform. That doesn't make you that. You are just enlisted. You know, for you to be a soldier, you needed to have the kind of conflict situation that would test whom you are. I'd like us to look at two scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 to verse 18. And Judges chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 to verse 18. And Judges chapter 5, verse 18. My fellow soldier.
2 Timothy chapter 4.
Yes.
From verse 14.
Yes.
Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Verse 17.
Yes.
But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Verse 18. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever.
Amen. You see, warfare, in Christian warfare, is not optional. Like what we saw in Nehemiah. We don't warfare in the night and in the day you are free. No. The Christian warfare is continuous. Even when you are sleeping, you don't sleep. If you sleep the way people thought you were sleeping, you'll be a dead man. When you are sleeping, your spirit man is awake. Sometimes you can notice that in your dreams. Sometimes you notice that in vision. Sometimes you notice that in trance. But even if you are not aware, your spirit man is awake. And if you have cultivated the awakeness of the spirit man, even when you are sleeping, your spirit will be engaging in warfare. There are certain dreams you can have, and you see yourself getting up from those dreams in prayer. You have rejected it. You have canceled it. You have fought beautifully, even though you were sleeping. So you develop and you allow yourself to know that there is no respite in Christian warfare. Paul was describing this man as a fellow soldier. You know the implication is, I went with him in battle. We were brothers in love. We were comrades in our fight, partners in the work of the Lord, and a good ambassador from where he was sent from. Paul was saying, this man was there with me. We fought the enemy. We dealt with issues. Judges chapter 5, verse 18.
Zebulun is a people who jeopardize their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also, hallelujah, on the heights of the battlefield.
Hallelujah. Take it again. Take it again.
Zebulun is a people.
Zebulun.
Who jeopardize their lives.
They jeopardize their lives.
To the point of death.
To the point of death.
Naphtali also. On the heights of the battlefield.
You see, when you are described as a soldier of Jesus Christ, there are certain things it employs. And here Paul was calling this man my fellow soldier. We have been in this warfare. Some of you may say you are a Christian soldier, but you know that you are not even a recruit yet. In fact, you are not even a scout. You have no battle that you are engaged in, physically and spiritually. As far as you are concerned, you are very much at ease in Zion. When you are described as a Christian soldier, let's look at some few things that will make a saint to be called a soldier. We've already looked at Paul's life in 2 Timothy. You call him a soldier of Christ, he's a soldier. Onye a bụ onye agha nke Jehovah Chineke. Ezi nwa Chineke a na-agbara ezi ama. This is a warrior for Christ, a general for God, a field marshal, a commander in the day of battle, like Zebulun and Naphtali. Some of us keep dodging like serpents. An army, an adogi, any place where there's problem, you get out, you don't want to put your neck, you don't want to be inconvenienced. How can you be a soldier? Please, let's pick up some of those readings that we have in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 4. It says, no soldier is involved in a warfare. In 1 Corinthians 9, no soldier fights at his own expense. If you are truly a soldier for Christ, there are certain things that you will be getting that God will give you. The reason you are not getting it is that you are dodging. You are somebody who is running away. They are asking you, you have been enlisted, but you are on our way without official leave. You are on our wall. And when we get you, we are going to court-martial you. We are going to deal with you. It's not a question of guard room. You are going to face the firing squad. You are a traitor to the cause of Christ. You are a betrayer to the cross. You have betrayed the master. You have shown that you do not know what it takes to stand for Christ. When you are enlisted in warfare, the reason why some of us are not getting the things is that you are not. You want the benefit of being a soldier, but you don't want to get engaged. It doesn't happen. Yes, please.
2 Timothy chapter 2.
Yes.
You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And the things that you have heard from me.
Mm-hmm. Especially in verse 4. Yes. Keep on going.
Among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men.
Yes.
Who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Please let me ask. What are the things that if you are called a soldier, what are some of the conditions before you are, that you will take? Endure what? Hardship. What are some of the hardships? Yes? Okay, training is so rigorous. What are some of the hardships about the life that we have to face? I'm not really into the camp now, but life as a Christian, yes? Deprivations, hunger, sorry, hatred, persecution, bodily pain. I like that. And that goes back into the training, the rigor of the training, the stretching of it, the total disorientation. I don't know about you, and I don't know what they do now, but in those days, as soon as you come, the first thing they do is to try to make sure that whatever you're thinking is, you are disoriented. If they have good razor to barb you, fine. Otherwise, a good bottle is okay. A well bottle, however you turn out, that is your business. And the time you come out and you are looking clean and you are not looking clean, and by the way, for the training and the interview, you are stripped only to your pants. And when you come in, the first person that may see you to clack your name and maybe a girl or a lady. So your name, God in can't wait for it, serious. So the whole thing that you are being made and the way you are totally disoriented, totally you are brought on. Can you say that again, please? Verse 4. No.
Verse 3.
Verse 3, yes.
You therefore must endure hardship.
You must endure hardship. If you are not enduring hardship for the sake of Christ, stop calling yourself a soldier.
If you are not enduring any inconvenience, stop calling yourself a soldier. If you are not in the battle, what are you wearing the uniform for? You might as well be Al-Qaeda. Yes.
Verse 4. No one engaged in warfare.
No one engaged in warfare. Listen again.
Entangles himself with the affairs of this life.
I like how Tom Translation put it. Entangles themselves in civilian pursuits. Take it again, brother.
No one engaged in warfare.
Yes.
Entangles himself with the affairs of this life.
Nobody who is engaged in warfare will suddenly come out and you find out that he's there, he's going to party in a warfare. You are engaged in a warfare, but you have time for night party. You have time for this. You have time to come out and... Maybe you can do that. Not when you are involved in a warfare. And the reason the casualty among Christians is so much is that you are doing what you should not be doing and you have left what you should be doing. There are so many Christian casualties. They are not standing their ground. And the enemy is mowing back the frontiers and the borders of Christianity. People who were once Christians are now unbelievers. Territories that were once Christian is now taking over. Because Christian soldiers have gone on our world. Please take it as verse 3 and verse 4 again.
You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
Amen. And the reason you are going to do all this is so that the man who enlisted you, you can please him. Look at some of the benefits. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, I think it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7.
Whoever goes to war at his own expense.
That is the question we are asking. You don't go to war at your own expense. If you are a Christian soldier, part of the benefit is this your country that's supposed to kit you. They are supposed to give you your own armor. They are supposed to put the defenses. They are supposed to give you your helmet, your feeding bottle, your bayonet, your any other thing that warfare has developed, the computer, the night goggles, anything you need. You don't go to warfare at your own expense. But because you are not a soldier in service, many people have gone into warfare and have been killed. They have been annihilated because they are not true to the one that enlisted them. And if only you are not a Christian, but today you want to be a Christian, you get engaged. And if you are willing to please the one that enlists you, you will notice that though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty. They pull down strongholds. And God will give you the victory over the powers of the enemy. He will tell you what to say. He will tell you how to act. God will make sure that the enemy shall not outwit you in the name of Jesus Christ. God have never lost any battle. Let me continue in the same verse 25, I think it was, our Philippian passage, where you were reading. Yes, the characteristics that Paul made of Epaphroditus.
Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus.
Yes.
My brother. My fellow worker.
My brother. My fellow worker. Epaphroditus was a brother in love, a partner in work, a comrade in warfare, tender-hearted. Yes.
And my fellow soldier.
My fellow soldier.
But your messenger and the one who ministered to my need.
That was where we got that. Your messenger, apostle. He was your apostle. And then he was my priest ministering to me. He collected your gifts and gave it to God. And that thing you sent to him, he took it to the Lord. Ministering to me and as though he was ministering to the Lord himself. Epaphroditus was selfless in his service. Yes.
Verse 26.
Yes.
Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick.
That is a kind of selfless attitude. Just look in the... This is number 16 we mentioned about him. Number 1, we told you that this guy was called goodness and he was lovely and his name was true to him. He was called his brother. Number 2, a fellow worker, then a fellow soldier, and now we are telling you that he was also sent as an apostle, and then he has a caring person. Though he was sick, it didn't bother him. As long as there's work to be done, I would rather die on the job. And now a selfless person that was prepared to give up everything. Yes?
Verse 27.
Yes, please.
For indeed he was sick almost unto death.
Mm.
But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow.
Epaphroditus was a friend that stuck closer than a brother. A friend in need, they say, is a friend indeed. When most people were keeping their distance, Epaphroditus was committing his whole life to Paul. When people were saying, I don't know what I know about Paul, I don't know, is he the only apostle? There are so many other apostles, not the same story. His own DJ. This man was there almost unto death, ministering to him. And that was where, after looking at the life of Epaphroditus, this was what William Payne said, and I'll take it again. William Payne said, a friend is one who unbosoms, removes everything, he doesn't hide anything, unbosoms freely, advises you justly, he assists you very readily, ready to take risk boldly, takes all of it very patiently, defends you courageously, and continues a friend unchanging no matter what. Epaphroditus was a brother in love, a partner in work, a comrade in battle, and a faithful apostle by those who sent him. And I ask the question, what kind of testimony do we bear? Can people really look at us and say, this is a brother, a sister, a true apostle, a faithful person, a fellow soldier? Unfortunately, most Christians suffer, and most of their pains are pains caused by false brethren. People they call Christians have afflicted them and created the greatest pain of their heart. I ask the question, and I'm asking God to make us to be the kind of people that he has called us to be. This great soldier was sick even unto death. Yet, it was the will of God, and by mercy of God, God healed him. Let me just look at that verse 25 again as I conclude. Verse 25 to verse 30.
Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. 28. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness.
Now listen carefully to what he's saying. Receive such people. It's not everybody he was asking you to receive. Receive ndidi otua. Ezi nwanne anagbara ezi ama. A good brother, a good sister with a good testimony. And the testimony is not he has a car, he has a degree, he's tall, he's fair. No. It's the testimony of his devotion and service to the people of God. Yes.
Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Verse 30. Because for the work of Christ.
For the work of Christ. That's the basis of every identity you will get. I want to ask you, what is the testimony you have today? This is not something very far. If you are in this church at the end of the service, you can go to some of your leaders and say, what testimony do you have of me? If you can't reach me, phone me. You can write to me. I'll write back to you. What testimony do you have of me, my pastor? I'll tell you. I said, your testimony is good, or your testimony is that you are a dodger. I'll tell you the honest truth. And you can prove it by writing your letter into the offering box. You'll get my reply tomorrow. See your leaders. Ask others. What kind of testimony do you bear
What kind of testimony do you have? What is the risk that you are taking for the things of God? All you want is the benefit, nothing to bear for it. Nothing. You want to get the best of the brethren, but you are not prepared to commit yourself. You want the sisters to rush to you. Hey, your daughter is delivered. Everybody should rush around. Hey, your daughter is getting married. Hey, your sister is getting married. Hey, my uncle is getting married. And the world will stop. Onye nkozo awata na nko. Onwere uncle. Na obodo ebe ekwe. Onye nkozo si n'enu da. The other person that has nobody to go and carry their propaganda around. Nobody will care for him. Who told you that that is what Christianity is? What is your commitment? What is the suffering you are going through on account of Christ? Please take that verse 30 again.
Because for the work of Christ.
Because for the work of Christ.
He came close to death.
He came close to death. Some of you have heard it. It's not history. It doesn't make me better than anybody. But yes, that he was sick. He had pneumonia. And he went into water to baptize people. Yes. I wasn't stupid. Nobody wants to commit suicide. But you have told people that there will be baptism, and they had planned months and maybe weeks in advance, and they had come. And all of a sudden you took ill. Listen, who is the man that will give illness and as an excuse for serving the Lord? Not I, says the cat. No, you will get in into that water with only one conviction. If the water does not heal me, then let the water kill me. But I'm alive to tell you that I'm alive. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's not being stupid. It's not because you don't know. Because on account of the work of God. The work of God. If I were to show what some of the things I had on my hand for the past week or so. And we were on in service, on in doing work. Somebody saw it one of the days and said, "You mean you had this and you were there?" I said, "What do you want me to do? To come and say, hey, please, I have a pain. What am I doing with your sorry?" The one who sent me could have made sure that I don't have any problem at all. So if I am going to have a problem, I will carry my problem and come to him in service. He has one option. He can put me together again and remobilize me. Or he can take me home because I know where I'm going. I want to encourage you that looking for touch, looking for comfort, looking for people who will send sorry to you, it's not necessary if you are a good soldier. Look at it from the Lord. Let the Lord be your comfort. Draw your strength from him. He is the one that will energize you. He is the one that will embolden you. I've been on drips. And some of you are the witnesses. And you will come, I'm on drip. Hey, daddy, hey, look on get drip. Hey, sorry, yo. Business and I will minister and pray with you. It's not because I don't know that I should be allowed to be resting with drip on my hand and that you should allow me to rest. I didn't even think you were selfish in coming, because if you don't come to your pastor to ask for help, where do you go to? Will you go to the moon? And if I feel I'm incompetent and standing in because of illness, then I should resign for God's sake. So let us read that verse again.
Because for the work of Christ.
Because for the work of Christ.
He came close to death.
He came close to death.
Not regarding his life.
Not regarding his life. I want to challenge you here if you are a Christian. What kind of work of Christ have stressed you? What? No, no. Are you there prayer power? Nah, after service today, I talk about prayer power Monday. Bible study. Midnight. If I select the one, I will come. That one is not even any service. That is for your own growth. Yet you are not able to do it. What if you are to make yourself available as some of the people here? Daddy, is there anything we can do for you? I said, yes. Go and visit this brother in the market. Tell him I sent you. Encourage him in his business. Visit this brother in his workshop. Go to this place and see this brother. Go to this place and see this sister. Are they not human beings? You think they don't have anything to do? All you know is yourself. And anything you are doing with your self-interest. Let us change. Let us have a testimony that will bear the test of time. Let us be the people that will make a difference in the name of Jesus Christ.
And if you haven't given your life to Christ, I want to suggest to you that the greatest thing is, like soldiers say, that the most exciting thing to be is to be a soldier. I can join them and say it. The most exciting thing to be is to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to enlist this morning. If you are not born again, get born again in a hurry. Give your life to Christ. Let the Holy Ghost come inside you. Receive the equipment of the Lord. We shall be able to engage in the battle with the forces of darkness. We already know how it will end. We are more than conquerors through Him that gives us the victory. Can somebody say amen? And so if you're here, you haven't given your life to Christ, I invite you to join the winning army. Let us pray. It is the Lord. And look at the Epaphroditus. I'm sure when he was going to do that job, he didn't know probably that his name will come in the Bible like that. He was just going to serve Paul. Finish. I'm sure when his parents asked him, why are you closing shop? What is this? Are you the only member of that church? You just carry everything on your head. He said, leave me alone. The Lord told me that I should go and serve him like that. So you are going to serve him and you're not even feeling well. So how do you make this journey? You know, totally you trek close to 35 this morning, apart from where you go on donkey and some of the carriage you will ride. This is almost close to 40 kilometers that you are going to go. How will you do it? He said, I will do it. Today, we are still reading about this simple act. You never know the day of your visitation, but your heart will lead you right if you belong to Christ. Don't always wait for profit and see what you will gain in it before you move out. Merchants don't make it in the kingdom. They soon get what they are looking for and they check out. I pray that God Almighty will touch you and make you to realize that Christianity is a life of giving, not a life of getting. And as you give, you get, of course, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are here and you haven't given your life to Christ and you want to do so, may I invite you and give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. Join the army of the King of Kings. The only army that will never lose a battle. The only army that victory is guaranteed before you start the fight. Be a member of God's army. If you are here and you want to give your life to Christ, to join the army of the Lord, I want to invite you to stand up where you are and come over here and I'll tell you what it takes to enlist in this army. Victorious army. Wonderful army. Special air services. These are the real SEALs. They are the true Marines. These are the commandos from heaven. They are involved in freeing Paul and Silas in prison. They are the people that saw that Peter was not beheaded by Herod through prayer. They are the ones that saw to it that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were delivered in prayer. These are the soldiers of the kingdom. They walk with Esther. They turn the heart of the kings back to God. If you are here and you want to join God's army, you want to be born again, let me invite you, stand where you are, and I'll lead you in prayer if you are here. I want to pray with you. God bless you as you are doing that. I'm waiting for you. You know you need to do that. You know it. You don't have to be wait for anybody to pep you up or to push you around. It is your life. It is your decision. Get up and do it because God wants you to do it. That is the only life. A soldier's life is the most exciting life. You know why? All your kit is provided outside you. Everything and the messen you are leading is a commander that has never lost any battle. He guarantees success 24 hours. You may suffer hunger. The enemy may get you one or the other. You may be paralyzed. You may even be close to death. But I want to show you something. At the end of the day, you are going to get a medal. Well done, thou faithful and good servant. The Lord is your commander. And our commander never retreats. No retreat, no surrender. I want to invite you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If you're here, just get up from your seat and join the people of God and say, today I want to give my life to Christ. Listen, we prayed for you today. So the debates and the shuffling you are having on your seats is unnecessary. Get up because the power to do it is there. And I want to pray with you. As we pray, I'll tell you, men who are standing here, that you are joining the most victorious army, the glorious group. Nothing is more exciting than to belong to Christ. And when, remember, I told you, you are joining an army. It's a warfare. You come out tomorrow, then even try to castigate your master. They'll tell you that Jesus is this, God is not good. Okay, if God loves you, what is this? Tell them that you have enlisted, you are loyal to your commander, you are not going to be involved in any mutiny. Keep looking unto Jesus. He will see you through. Don't join the riffraffs and the miscreants. Do not join those that infiltrated our ranks. I like you to repeat after me. And I want you to know something. As you've come to join the army of the Lord, God is waiting for you. He treats his soldiers very well. The battle is fierce, but the Lord will see you through. I like you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I stand today, O God, before you. I surrender my life to you. I confess that I am a sinner. And I ask you, O God, forgive me my sins. Today, O God, I invite you into my life to be my Savior and my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me a soldier of Christ, that today, O God, my life will be your life. What you want me to do is what I will do. I open the door of my heart. Come in and take control. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the confession that has been made today. We speak to them today and say, may the power of the excellency of Jacob be upon them. May the anointing of God be upon them. May their names be written in the land book of life, O God. Father, seal them with the blood of Emmanuel. Covenant them for life. Equip them from on high. Energize them by your Holy Spirit, O God. Let their faces shine with the glory of Christ. Break every yoke of the enemy upon their life. Every curse upon their life. May the blessing of the God of Jacob be upon their foreheads. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just look at what the Apostle Paul spoke about this young man, Epaphroditus. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come to you shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all, was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him. Not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. What a brother. He came out, sent out, and on the ministry where he was serving the Apostle Paul, he fell sick. And so great was the sickness that he was almost unto death in service of God. I wonder how some of us will take it today. We'd catch it, receive it, get it, and all over the place. I wonder what we'll do with such Christians. My friend, God knows that you are sick. And he knows you are serving him. He's going to heal you as a testimony of his person. But you may go through periods of pain, lack of clothing, no money. The service of God does not wipe out the normal, ordinary exigencies of life. But he promises, my grace shall be with you. I hope you are not a merchant. I hope you are a servant of the Almighty. If you are, whatever he brings. He said, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. And for every temptation, God will make a way of escape. Epaphroditus, the brother. May that be your testimony. That no matter what, like we sing it. All the more danger. Ekwere wom. Agama babani me Jehovah. Gakopa. No matter what happens, I have made my choice. And I will follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus. No going back. Don't follow him for what he gives. Follow him for whom he is. He's the Lord of your life. He's the Lord you will meet beyond this life. May God give you the constancy of followership in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Join us again sometime next week on Living Springtime. We invite you to worship with us at the Praise Temple of Amazing Love Assembly, Chinzekur, Enugu, on Sunday by 8:30 a.m., Monday prayer power by 5 p.m., Wednesday Holy Convocation by 12 noon, Wednesday Bible study by 5 p.m., and Friday night vigil by 12 midnight. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.